From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Congratulations to Florida defeating Ohio State to win the college football championship. Man, I didn't expect that one. It was a clobbering. Open lines later this hour. Next hour, how the mind influences your ability to heal with Joyce Hawks. And I'm back, obviously, from St. Louis, where I was in the cave. Well, Steve D. from Seattle thinks he found the cave. If you want to get up to the coasttocoastam.com website, take a look at the listener email picture that Stephen has sent to us. He claims that that's me peeking out of the cave. If so, Stephen, you got me. By the way, I'm back here in Los Angeles, and 6 out of 10 people that I have met today are sick. There's something blowing around in the air, maybe from those Santa Ana winds, because let me tell you, those winds have just about destroyed Malibu, at least 8 to 12 mansions in Malibu. A wildfire, flamed by the, of course, Santa Ana winds, destroyed 8 seaside mansions, huge homes, and damaged 5 others as it spread over more than 20 acres in the celebrity enclave area. The flames boiled furiously. It's that time of year again, and Malibu is burning. This just into a U.S. submarine and Japanese merchant ship have collided in the Arabian Sea. The Navy said the accident occurred late Monday night. Neither vessel reported any injuries or serious damage. You know, it was almost 6 years ago to the day, happened in February. 6 years ago, a U.S. sub hit a Japanese fishing vessel. 9 Japanese, if I recall, died in that episode. The volcano that destroyed Montserrat's capital in 1997 shot a cloud of ash more than 5 miles into the sky. And one of the island's chief scientists said the blast was a warning call. The government has advised about 50 families on the northwestern side of the volcano's base that their homes were at risk from flows of blistering gas and debris if the dome collapses. United States forces have launched a strike against suspected Al-Qaeda members in Somalia. The attack by the Air Force AC-130 gunship, and what a gunship this is. You know, it's capable of firing thousands of rounds per second, if you can imagine that. It left casualties on the ground, but not sure if they are suspected terrorists. No one knows yet. The USS Eisenhower, it's an aircraft carrier, is also in the region within striking distance, loaded with firepower as well. They could be called into action if necessary, those sailors there and Marines. The operation marks the first time the U.S. has mounted a mission in Somalia since forces pulled out in 1994, 2 years after entering a mission to feed starving people there. I've been in touch with Jerry Corsi today, and he believes that some of these attacks are a prelude to something bigger with Iran. So we'll keep our eyes on it. We'll talk with Jerry Corsi a little bit later on this week about this episode. President George W. Bush has set Wednesday for his Iraq speech and worked out final details on a new war strategy, expected to include sending up to 20,000 more U.S. troops over Democrats' objections. The White House said Mr. Bush would address us on his new Iraq policy Wednesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. A graphic new video surfaced Monday on the web, appearing to show the body of Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein immediately after he was hanged a little more than a week ago. The 27-second video posted on Google appears to show Saddam's body on a gurney covered with a bloodied white shroud that is removed so the person videotaping, possibly with one of those cell phone cameras, has a clear shot at his neck. A large and gaping wound is visible on the neck. The Port of Miami was hit by its second terrorism scare in 2 days. I said scare when the package that was to be loaded onto a cruise ship tested positive for plastic explosives. Authorities later determined it was merely just a box of sprinkler parts. The developments came a day after 3 Middle Eastern men in a cargo truck sparked a brief terrorism scare at the port. After a bomb squad search, authorities concluded that the men were carrying automotive parts and that the scare stemmed from miscommunication. A judge dropped all charges against the 3 men on Monday. In Austin, Texas, where I will be in 2 weeks at KLBJ AM's Talk Fest, police shut down a 10-block stretch of Congress Avenue. Better take care of this first before I get there. It's in the heart of the downtown area. Up to 60 dead birds were found, but a state health official said preliminary air quality tests showed no dangerous chemicals. The carcasses of the birds were being tested locally. You know, we've had that story about all those mallard ducks that died in Idaho also. A mysterious natural gas-like odor hit Manhattan Monday morning, causing building evacuations from Rockefeller Center to the city's west side, but the city's mayor said it was not dangerous. Natural gas, they believe, is what it is. It's colorless and odorless, but they put a chemical in natural gas called mercaptan, and it's added just to make it smell. Stun gun maker Taser is unveiling a sleeker version of its very controversial weapon aimed at safety and fashion-conscious members of the public. Available in pink, blue, silver, and black, the gun fits into a handbag just like a mobile phone. Taser guns temporarily incapacitate a target with up to 50,000 volts. We don't know yet how many volts this smaller version will carry. Critics have linked their use to dozens of deaths, but Taser says they save lives by reducing the use of firearms. This new device is likely to be significantly cheaper than the current larger civilian model, which sells for about $1,000. The Taser has said that it will be sold inert, meaning it will not be activated until after you take part in an online background check. In Toronto, imagine this for a moment. A man is on a Sunday airplane flight, just like I was, but not that flight, was returning from a camping trip in Costa Rica. He brought along a scorpion by accident. Once the flight was in the air, it decided to venture out of a knapsack, crawl up the man's leg, and bite him on the back of the knee. He's okay now. It was not lethal. He should recover. You know, producer Tommy, he tells me, has scorpions running all over his place, by the way. In Las Vegas, at this week's International Consumer Electronics Show, Sharp Electronics Corporation is now unveiling its 108-inch liquid crystal display LCD. It is a huge television set. We don't know how much this is going to cost yet, but their 65-inch version is going for $11,000. This would be higher, but it's amazing. LCDs are really beginning to grow in that kind of flat panel technology. You know, when we reported a couple months ago that physicist Stephen Hawking wants to go into space, well, we didn't know how soon he wanted to go. Apparently, he wants to undertake an immediate zero-gravity flight up just aboard an airplane just to get going before he goes into space. He's 65 years old. He's talking to British businessman Richard Branson, who owns Virgin Galactic. And they're working out some way for Stephen to get up there. And I think they're going to let him do it for free. Normally, when they go into space, when that happens in 2009, the service will cost space tourists $200,000. I may get the network to write a check and get me up on that one. Two NASA space probes that visited Mars 30 years ago may have stumbled upon alien microbes on the red planet, but inadvertently killed them, according to a scientist. He is making this theory. In a moment, Richard C. Hoagland, our science advisor, head of the EnterpriseMission.com, he's got his own thoughts about this. We're back with Richard in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, he's back. Richard C. Hoagland, former Space Science Museum curator, former NASA consultant, heads up the EnterpriseMission.com. We're going to tell you a lot about a conference that I will be at in February with Richard. Richard, incredible story about the two NASA space probes that visited Mars 30 years ago, which the scientist thinks killed off life there. Can you explain this?
George, this has got to be the silliest story I have ever heard. For one thing, Seth Bornstein, who's a very good science writer for AP, wrote the story, but the completely wacko thing is the headline. And you know they have separate headline writers for stories.
And sometimes they don't even read the story.
Exactly. And the headline says, "Scientists suggest NASA probes killed life on Mars." And someone forwarded this to me, as well as Robin, and I went, "Oh my God." And I read it, and then I started laughing, and I haven't stopped laughing since.
All right, tell us why you're laughing.
Because this is wacko. This is, you know, I mean, people accuse me of being far out.
I was going to say, if Hoagland thinks it's wacko, it really is far out.
Put this in perspective. You've got one guy who who submits a paper, a totally speculative paper. There isn't an iota of real evidence to support this theory, not one. To the American Astronomical Society meeting in Seattle, AP Bornstein, for some reason, picks up on it, probably because Chris McKay, who's a guy that I know who's very high in the NASA food chain and who is actually a very serious astrobiologist, gave some kind of a comment which could be construed as kind of a, you know, we're thinking about far-out theories. And so Bornstein put these two things together and wrote this really intriguing story that has nothing to do with reality.
Would you say the same thing if this scientist, backed your theory of Cydonia?
No, Of course not. No, seriously, what they're claiming here, what this guy is claiming, and I don't have his name at my fingertips right at the moment, but I will. He's claiming that his name is Dirk Schultz-Maku. He claims that when the Viking spacecraft landed on Mars in 1976, both little Vikings, and put the soil in the hoppers for analysis,
all right,
that what they did is expose them to terrestrial conditions that are conducive to Earth life. They had something called a chicken soup, kind of a organic broth that they wanted to feed the little beasties in the soil,
little
microbes. And they wet the soil, you know, and of course, life on Earth likes water. Remember NASA's mantra, follow the water.
And he's a geology professor at Washington State University.
Exactly. Okay. He's not exactly a biologist. So he claims in this model, this theory, that NASA may have inadvertently killed in the soil samples the very little beasties they were looking for, because the life on Mars is not like life on Earth, and in fact would prefer such interesting things as hydrogen peroxide or some other superoxide, and that by giving it just plain water, we basically drown the Martian microorganisms, ergo, we killed life on Mars.
All right, how does he know that these two probes even scooped up Martian life?
Well, we don't. I mean, in fact, the conclusion of the formal investigation was that they didn't, based on the fact that they didn't find any dead bodies. There was another experiment called the GCMS, which was looking for little organic molecules, the things that are left over when you toast bacteria, and they didn't find any, and therefore they concluded that all the experiments which were positive for finding life, in fact, were only looking at, quote, funny chemistry, because they didn't find the dead bodies. Well, it turns out that the GCMS was not sensitive enough to find dead little microbes on Mars. And we know that now because they've tested it in the Antarctic with soil samples where more sophisticated probes or instruments have found life and the Viking instruments couldn't.
So you're saying this is what I should do with the study, just like that?
Like Keith Olbermann, and throw it right at camera number two.
No, I'm not going to throw it at a camera because I just have Engineer Dan here and he's the only one that I would hit. And I don't want to do that because he'll flip a switch and I'll be off the air.
Now, let me tell you why I'm really intrigued with this story. After I've spent the first 5 minutes, you know, dissing on it, I think this is political.
You would? Why?
Well, because we know NASA stands for never a straight answer. We know back in 1999, when Mike Barra and I started putting posts on the Enterprise Mission website predicting what NASA would have to do to come kicking and screaming and squirming to the idea there was current life on Mars, they would have to go through several hoops, like they would have to find water.
Uh-huh.
What did they announce just a couple days ago?
Water.
Exactly. So what is how do you get them off the hook for not finding the life that's there back in 1976?
You come out with a cockamamie theory like this one.
You loft a trial balloon, which basically for most people will absolve them. Oh, they didn't look for the right kind of life. So when you announce life on Mars, people will forget that NASA for 30 years has been denying it's there, and they'll just go right to the end without passing go and collecting $200, which is, oh, they found it now, and they made up for their mistake 30 years ago.
Well, I got to tell you, Richard, you know, you have been right on the money on a lot of your theories. I mean, you are, you know, I talk about the hit rate of Dr. Louis Turi, our psychic extraordinaire.
Oh, yes, I've listened to Louis many times.
You, Turi, and you are pretty accurate yourself with your, not predictions, but with your investigations and your theories. And so I'm not going to laugh at these anymore.
Well, what we need to watch is what happens next, because I think 2007, I mean, I'm going to put myself kind of on the spot here. I think 2007 is going to be the year of some major significant announcement vis-a-vis life on Mars. And I think we're working our way up to it, and I keep seeing these data points drop into line, and this trial balloon. I mean, what you're not aware of, and most people probably don't remember, is that several years ago, Gil Levin, who was the principal investigator in one of those Viking experiments, which this guy claims drowned microbes, actually kept claiming he had found life on Mars and nobody would listen. There was a scientist back around 2000, 2001, who independently went and found Levin's data, independently analyzed and presented it at a scientific conference in San Diego. It's a big conference they all held every year, and I forget the name of it. The point is that this independent guy found in Levin's data something really amazing that pretty much says we should be looking carefully at the Viking data, not that it was dead, Jim, but in fact that it recorded living things. And what was that interesting piece of new news?
It's all over the place.
This scientist found evidence of a circadian rhythm in the Viking experiment, that every 24.6 hours, which is the Martian day, the evolution of gases from these little guys in the soil samples that this guy proposes were killed actually were giving off carbon dioxide. They were breathing in rhythm to where microbes would actually be in synchronization with the circadian rhythm of the Martian day, the 24.6-hour day. That is stunningly important evidence that has been totally ignored by almost everybody, except me, and not mentioned at all in this guy's paper, because that, of course, would mean that NASA had found life on Mars, they had deliberately ignored it, had basically put Levin in a padded room and said, don't bother us. I mean, the poor guy really, you should get Gil Levin on the show. You should have an incredible conversation with Gil Levin to talk to you about all the hoops he's tried to jump through to prove his experiment 30 years ago on Viking did find life on Mars, but it's politically not correct.
All right. That's a great idea. Speaking of conferences, I'm going to be with you in Feb 10. I think Robin is going to be in that as well.
Robin is giving the
Conscious Life Expo, right?
At the Whole Life Expo in Los Angeles at the Airport Hilton. We have a banner at the top of the Enterprise website. And she's going to present papers, I think, on Saturday. I'm presenting on Saturday night. I'm on panels. She's on panels. We're all going to have fun there. And you're doing a kind of a...
just a meet and greet.
Meet and greet.
Like, I like to do that. I like to make a little speech and talk a little bit, and they just ask me questions. So I'll be there on that Saturday. And, you know, now that...
who else is going to be there?
Who?
Arianna Huffington.
Really?
Yes, the Huffington Post person who's all the time on Chris Matthews.
Yeah.
And Dennis Kucinich.
I'd like to meet him.
He is running for president, George. It might be useful to rub elbows with Dennis.
Oh, there's a lot of people that are going to be running for president, Richard. You know, hey, how did your holidays go?
We had a wonderful time. We had 2 feet of snow. We had the worst or best, depending on your point of view, snow in 50 years here in New Mexico.
Did you do well with the Joshua Tree DVDs and the Godman and E.T. series?
People are snapping them up like crazy. If people want copies, they obviously call our 800 number, or they go to the Enterprise Mission website, and the 800 number is 877-345-6222. You know, in light of this new paper, kind of debunking the idea that there could be current life, but we may have killed it when we got there, people really should kind of pick up a copy of God, Man, and E.T., because all those implications of what happens to our view of the universe and ourselves if we discover as much as a microbe on Mars, as Carl Sagan used to say, is in that 6-DVD set, and I strongly, strongly recommend it.
Very good. Richard, again, I'll see you in February at the Conscious Life Expo here in Los Angeles. Look forward to it, my friend.
Me too.
Richard C. Hoagland. I'll tell you more about that conference, those of you who live in the Los Angeles area, a little bit later on as we get close to that. I still have a conference to go to, the KLBJ's Talk Fest in Austin, Texas, which they have just emailed me very quickly and said they are cleaning up the streets of Austin from dead birds for my arrival. I'll be back in a moment. We've got open lines now. Here are the phone numbers. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. 825-5033. The first time caller line, that's ready to go. 818-501-4721. And the wild card line, 818-501-4109. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Well, if you like our holiday prediction shows, you're going to love the After Dark newsletter for January. When you subscribe, it's all on predictions, and they are some of them scary, some of them fun, and the rest of them will make you go, I want to be around just to see if that stuff happens. Well, you can pick up the After Dark newsletter, and it's just a special treat for you, our way of saying thank you. A couple old show interviews that Art did with Father Malachi Martin, we will send them to you. You just pay a little shipping and handling fee. That is it. Make sure the postal person doesn't look inside, because they will keep them, because they are collector items. Call 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505, or go online safe and secure. I'm the only one who will get all your information at coasttocoastam.com. Well, it's open line time right to the top of the hour. Then Joyce Hawks joins us as we talk about the ability for cells to heal. An amazing story. Did you ever stub your little toe, by the way? I did that last week while I was on vacation. And let me tell you, that is absolute torturous pain. How could something as small as a little toe shut your body down until that pain goes away? It's got to be connected to something. Somebody do some searches for me on the internet. Send me some information. Fast blast me. How in the heck can a small little toe like that, when you merely bump it, shut you down? It's just absolutely incredible. Well, my producer Lisa broke her baby toe some time ago. Imagine the pain that was. Let's go to the phones. First time caller line, you're on the air with us. Welcome to the show. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing?
Good.
Great. I'm calling you from a little town up here in northern Arizona called Meadview. I just saw a thing in reference to the UFOs that the pilots supposedly saw over Chicago.
Yes.
And it was a big deal there for a couple of seconds, then all of a sudden it's gone off the air. Is anybody, or have you know anything about it?
We've been doing a couple follow-up stories to that episode. There's nothing definitive. The FAA isn't following up on it, but pilots and some airline employees and other witnesses saw something that looked like a large craft hovering around the airport. It took off and made some kind of donut-like hole through the clouds. And we had on Tuesday, after New Year's Day, we had some open lines, and we had some people from Chicago call us about that episode. One person even witnessed the donut hole in there, but nobody knows what it was. Thanks for calling. East of the Rockies, welcome to the show. Hi there.
Good day, sir. It's Roger calling from London, Ontario.
Roger,
George.
Hi.
It's an honor to talk to you, sir.
Thanks.
Great. Just wanted to chat with you a little bit. Any kind of predictions in the pipeline to talk about maybe what's happening in terms of oil, or if there's going to be any kind of shortage or change? Because, you know, that came up in my mind, because at the Detroit Auto Show, one of the manufacturers are saying, you know, we got a car here and you're never going to have to fill it up again.
And I hope they keep going that way.
I know.
Look, if there's an oil shortage, it's created by man. I am not a proponent of using that fuel. I think we should have an alternative. We should have done this a long time ago. However, I agree with people like Dr. Jerome Corsi, who believe this planet manufactures the oil itself. It's part and parcel of this planet when it was formed. And I think it keeps building it, by creating it.
Right.
I don't believe in the peak oil theory, and I don't believe that oil has exhausted to the point where we're going to run out. I think if we run out, it's intentional, and they're holding it back to keep prices high.
Right, that's true. Now, some of the predictions that you guys have covered on your shows over the last little while here, where they were talking about, you know, kind of natural disasters happening in different spots. Is there any link to the fossil fuel burning of fossil fuels?
Well, look, you call it fossil fuels. I don't, but we will still call it oil.
Right.
And look, you just look at the problem spots around most of this planet. They all revolve around areas that have an abundance of oil.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of course, maybe it's just a coincidence. Let's move on. West of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, this is John Constantine.
Hello, John. You're a little scratchy on the phone, but let's do the best we can with you.
Yes, I wanted to inform you about one of your regular callers named JC.
Mm-hmm.
And one...
You there?
Ah!
What happened to him? Well, it's the new year. It's the way to bring it in. We'll go wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
This is Casey calling from WGOW.
Casey, you didn't say JC.
No, Casey.
Oh,
Casey.
Thank God.
All right. I want to come clean about something that has been going on in my life. I've called in a few times. Anyway, I don't know. I met you in St. Louis, but I wanted to call in and come clean about something. And started out two or three years ago, just to start the story. I had just sort of just sitting there trying to figure out the big question of why are we all here? I know you ask that a lot, right?
Yes, I do. It plagues me sometimes.
Okay, well, maybe I've got your answer. I'm going to try it tonight, okay?
All right.
Ever since I thought this, a lot of stuff has happened in my life, and it's almost just like from a thought that it has triggered this. So I'm going to go ahead and come clean. So what I think why we are here is because our Creator long ago was created by their Creator, and when their Creator created them, they nurtured them, they brought them along, they watched them, they made sure that they followed the correct path, and then they committed a crime against their Creator, and I'm not sure exactly what this crime was, but I think their punishment for them maybe raging out or whatever, not meaning to, but in their own ignorance of their own Creator, they lashed out against him, and that caused them to be punished. And their punishment, when it's an eye for an eye, the only way that they could be able to overcome this crime that they committed would be to nurture, to do what their Creator did and nurture along a race and help them to follow the correct path. And then whenever they do that, then it's key for us being the next generation to not lash out against any of our family or the beings that we may come in contact with, because if we do, we may suffer the same fate as our Creator.
You may not be too far off the mark on this.
Yeah, well, the reason I think that it took hold with me is because I knew I have a pure, I don't want to hurt anybody, and I just want to kind of, find the truth. And I think that, I don't mean to interrupt you, George, but I just wanted to say that we could be the Trinity that they speak of, could be God, our Creator, and us.
Here's the question. Who created the Creator? See, that's what I can't
figure out. The original Creator, I think it goes back like a galactic garden, and it goes on and on and on, but this just so happens to be our family, our branch of
You're going to make me think more and more and more now, and I'll never get the answer, but thanks, because your theory is pretty interesting. Next up, we'll go to our fifth wild card line. We've installed another one. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yes, sir. I'm calling in regards to the dead birds. Do you feel there's any evidence that could have been leaked to the avian flu or possibly the West Nile virus?
Well, I'm not sure, honestly. I don't know if there's some kind of virus involved or not. Now, we have the thousands of mallard ducks that died in Idaho, and we have this situation in Austin. The birds are obviously eating, in my opinion, something, or contracting something. But I don't believe it's the bird flu pandemic or the avian flu. I don't believe those will be pandemic. I've said that before. But it's something out there that's affecting these animals. Somebody even sent me an email saying, oh, my God, it's a terrorist test. I don't think it's that either. But there's something. There's some kind of disease out there that's affecting them.
Do you suppose it's like pesticides or
could be
the insects are eating?
Could be. And what's very interesting, I know here in Los Angeles, and I also know back in St. Louis, there are a lot of people who are getting some kind of respiratory illness. I mean, you go into the emergency rooms or these med centers or these places like that, they are packed with people. I mean, jam-packed with people who are coming down with these viruses. I mean, they have these weird respiratory colds. They're all over the place. I mean, like I told you, a handful of people in L.A. that I've just run into are sick. There's a couple people working at a restaurant. I wanted to get out of there. They were sick. And people in St. Louis, same thing. So I've been in two cities with a very high amount of people coming down with respiratory infections. There's something strange in the air. Maybe these birds are so sensitive, they're coming down with whatever is out there. Let's go next to our East of the Rockies line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is John from Springfield, Illinois.
Hey, John. Welcome.
Talking about being sick. You had a guest on about a year and a half ago. Remember a bunch of people called in and said they got sick from listening to it?
Well, that was Benjamin Krem, who some claim represents the Antichrist, the Maitreya.
Well, three of us were listening to the radio. The next day, we were all sick. It was crazy. No, I got a story about ethanol. There was a story in the AP story. Evidently, they're using too much corn in the process of making the ethanol. They're afraid it's going to drive up food prices, so they're going to start using chicken fat.
Oh, my. Well, you know, there is there's a factory in Carthage, Missouri, that takes turkey parts and chicken parts and grinds them into fuel oil, and it's been doing that for a couple of years now pretty successfully. I think they're going to use everything they can.
The only thing, it's got to be above freezing because evidently, like below 40 or something, it just coagulates and gets really nasty.
The American Corn Growers Association believes that they can make enough corn to satisfy people, animals, and fuel ethanol, and they can keep doing that. And they may be right. I mean, as long as we don't get hit with a drought or bad weather. First time caller line, your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Yeah, hi, George. This is John in Cody, Wyoming.
Hey, John.
Hey, you know, this question has been on my mind for a long time. It has to do with sleep paralysis. I've had an experience here several times, and it's definitely a scary experience if you ever had one. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. I've had it a couple times.
Anyway, you know,
it was the hag, though,
Albert Taylor was on talking about the soul traveler. And in his book, you know, well, he says that's a stage to leave in your body and nothing to worry about. But yet in his book, he talks about his cousin Robert, who died during the sleep paralysis state. So I think that there's more to it than just saying, go with it. There's nothing to fear.
Oh, I agree with that.
Yeah, and you also had a caller one time several months ago said when she came home, she found her son dead, then he was practicing doing out-of-body stuff.
Well, yeah, he may have died of a heart attack or something like that. By the way, condolences to my ex-wife. Her mother passed away a few days ago in St. Louis of a long, long-term illness. Let's go west of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, this is Mark in Newport.
Hello, Mark. What's on your mind?
I was calling about the little toe. About 10 years ago, I broke my ankle, and in the combination of the meds the doctors gave me and the crutches walking around, I broke my pinky toes probably four or five times each.
Oh, my God.
And the first times, you know, it was like you were saying, it dropped me and I couldn't do anything. But by the last time, I was just laughing because it didn't even hurt. And to this day, the right one, it wiggles. I got a phone call at work, so I got to go.
All right.
Have a good night.
All right. Off he goes. So the theory is that the more you break that little toe, the more, I guess, desensitized it becomes. No, thank you. Don't want to do it. Stubbing it alone is bad enough. Well, in my particular case, I got it caught underneath a door when I hit it. I mean, I can't find the toe now. I don't know. No, I'm kidding about that part. Wildcard line, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, George.
Yes, sir.
This is Nick in Memphis. How you doing?
Fine, Nick.
I started to yank your chain a little bit, but I didn't want to.
Oh, no, go ahead, yank it.
How dare you?
You sound like JC there.
Thank you.
You do, a little bit.
No, I didn't. I'm not JC, believe me.
Good, good. There's only one JC.
Thank God for that.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, did you happen to catch Art's show last Thursday night?
No, that was my vacation night, so I was long gone.
Well, you should have heard it anyway. He was talking about some doctor. I can't even remember where he is. But he's saying in 5 years they'll be able to put wings on people, attach wings.
Oh, yeah. We had that story. It was out several years ago.
about a doctor who wanted to stitch like angelic wings to people so they could fly. And we've had video on the coasttocoastam.com website of guy who is flying. I'm not sure I'd want wings unless I was an angel, of course.
Well, I'm just wondering, is he going to put a beak with it?
Yeah, really, and those little feathers and all that other stuff.
Yeah, right.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, listen, are you going to be down in Memphis anytime soon?
No plans to be in Memphis, at least not yet.
Well, you need to come down here.
I know, it's a great town. That is one heck of a spot. I've been in Memphis twice, just taking some time off when I was in St. Louis years ago. I mean, it's a great town. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hello, am I on the air?
Yes, sir.
Well, greetings. My name is Trinix, and I'm actually from the year 2022 from my perspective.
Well, welcome to our time.
Oh, well, greetings. Thank you. And by the way, just to let you know, I'm not no, you know, regular calling who's making up a story. I've received my doctorate from your Worldline and my master's and my degree. And I'm currently doing some motivational speaking. But anyways, I know time's short. And you gave me a perfect lead on when you mentioned you're stubbing your toe.
Okay.
I just wanted to point out that in life, you know, with the good comes the bad. So with all those great memories, we also have the bad memories of stubbing our toe. My point is that people have to remember that good and bad forms a symbian circle, if you will. And so long as there's going to be good forces in life, there's also going to be bad forces. And so long as bad, there's also going to be good. And I just wanted to let everybody know in your world mind that while things might get, you know, edgy now and then, everything's going to work out in the end.
Well, that's kind of hopeful.
Yes, yes, that's the key, my friend. Just have hope, eh?
All right. How long are you going to be down here with us?
Well, I've got a girlfriend down here, and I've just been kind of taking it easy. Anyways, George, I have to get back to making martinis, but I hope, George, if I could beg one thing of you.
You can.
I would love for you to lead us in a group prayer type of thing. And I know you can't take requests, but if you could find the time sometime, you know, send that message of hope to everyone.
Okay. Well, you know, we normally do that, and that, of course, is our time traveler from 2022, which is 15 years away now from now. I should have asked him about 2012, but I did not. First time caller, I've got about a minute or so for you. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes.
I'm Ian from Baltimore.
Hi, Ian.
And several weeks ago, you had mentioned about the prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep."
Yes.
"I pray the Lord my soul to keep."
It's kind of a scary prayer for a kid.
Well, this is a new version that has come out, and maybe you can pass it along to Art so he can tell his new baby. And it goes like this, George. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. See me safely through the night. Wake me with the morning light. Amen."
I like that one better.
So, well, it's the, you know, they're always saying about don't talk about death to children.
Well, you know what, Ian, that's upbeat. Yeah, I like that. I like it much better than the other version. I do. We'll be back in a moment. Joyce Hawks will be our special guest. Her book is called Cell Level Healing, The Bridge from Soul to Cell. Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. So I'm looking forward to talking with her. I'm George Norrie, back from wherever I was. Get up to the coasttocoastam.com website, though. Take a look at Steve's picture. He claims he's got me peeking out of the cave. I'm not going to say it is. I'm not going to say it isn't.